Hi, and welcome to the Arana Hills Church of Christ podcast. We hope this message brings you closer to knowing God, finding freedom in Him, and understanding what He has in store for you and your community. To learn more about Arana Hills Church of Christ, head to aranahills.church. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning. I'm Maggie, and the wife to Luke, so I have been able to hear a few of the stories, and I've been able to see the benefits, maybe just from a wife's perspective of how great 4M is and how beneficial it is. So even from my perspective, I think it's a really great thing for the men to go on, and I'm sure there will be other opportunities in the future for that. As I said, I'm Maggie. I've been coming to this church for probably about 10 years now, and I have a lot of family within this church, so it is a pretty special place for me to come each week. I love coming to Arana. And we've been going through a series at the moment. If this is your first time here this week, we've been going through a series in Colossians, and we've been looking at a chapter each week, and today I'm going to be looking into chapter 3 with you. And it's really interesting, as I've been preparing, looking into this chapter, really the Apostle Paul has really been setting up in this letter to chapter 3. I think we can forget sometimes that the book of Colossians is a letter that he wrote. So we've kind of been building and building in this letter up until this point, in chapter 3. So what I want to look at today, I just want to go back just a little bit, just so we can set up what I want to have a look at today. So in chapter 1, Paul begins by explaining the supremacy of Jesus. He says that Jesus is God. He's the creator of all things in heaven and earth. He's the head of the church, and because he died on a cross and rose again, all people have been reconciled to God. And he finishes off in chapter 1 by saying, and this is what really struck me as I looked at this the other day, in verse 27, he says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So Jesus, the creator of all things, the head of the church, the one who made a way for you and I to be reconciled to God, it says here that Jesus lives in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I just think, what a revelation that the God, the creator of all things, lives in us. And then Paul goes on to say in chapter 2 that his goal is to encourage the people in Colossae that they might understand this mystery, that we might understand this mystery of Christ in us. He says in Christ we have been brought to fullness. We've been made alive in Christ. And verse 13 of chapter 2 says, "God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." It's only because Christ died for us and resurrected to life that I can also be made alive in Christ. So this is where we get to chapter 3, and I think this is where Paul gets really practical. And I really like that at this point, we get really practical, because he's addressing to us, okay, so now that we know you've been made alive in Christ, Christ has died for us, he's set us free, what does that look like as we live out our lives as Christians? What does it look like living as people made alive in Christ? What does that look like? What does that mean that we've been made alive? So chapter 3 begins, and you might like to turn there with me. there's so much that I could talk about in this chapter, and I've really had to just pull out a few key verses here and there, but I'm in a way kind of looking at the whole thing, though I am going to pull out some certain verses. So please, if anything, take away from this today to go and read it for yourselves. Go and read it, soak it in, just like I've had the opportunity to be doing that all this week. So chapter 3 begins, and I think I'm going to have it up on the screen. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When I was preparing for that, for this message, I stopped there because there's so much just even in that opening verse. And I want to spend a time a little bit looking at this. So we need to remember we've come from chapter 1 and 2 and we've been looking at who Jesus is. Paul starts with looking at who Jesus is. He's the creator. He's the head of the church. He went to the cross. He's reconciled all things to himself. And now Paul says, since you have been raised with Christ. In other words, if we've been raised with Christ, something else has died. If we've been raised with Christ, something else has died. We were previously dead in our sins, but now we've been raised to new life in Jesus. Colossians 3 says this another way, further on into the chapter. Colossians 3 says we've put off the old self, which died to sin, and we've put on the new self, which was raised to life in Jesus. And in verse 10, it says that we've been renewed in the knowledge, in the image of God, sorry, in the image of its creator. Galatians 2:20 helps us understand this a little bit better, I think. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. So Paul talks about living alive in Christ as a putting on of the new self. Since you've been raised with Christ, put that on. Put on the new self. Our new self is no longer defined by our sin, but it's a restored one. Jesus has restored us. And Colossians said we are being renewed in this knowledge day by day. We're growing in the knowledge. We're growing in our understanding that our identity has now been restored. We've been created to know our God and to reflect his image. And what Paul's going to talk about in the rest of this chapter is, what are we to reflect? What are we reflecting about God now that we know we've been raised with Christ? We are reflecting his image. So Paul says, since you have been raised with Christ, and I could spend the whole message just looking at this part here. Since you have been raised with Christ, since you've put on this new self, set your hearts and your minds on things above. Above to what? Where Christ is seated. In other words, Paul is saying, set your heart and your mind on Jesus. Paul says, look up, look up. With your heart and your mind, look to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. If we're to grow in our faith, Paul says we need to look up where Christ is seated. We need to look to Jesus. We need to live like Jesus. Set our hearts and our minds on things above. And I think it's interesting when he says we're looking up at Christ, I think we could also say the same thing about looking in. Jesus Christ, our hope for glory, Christ in us. So Paul encourages us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who's at work in transforming us day by day. Paul reminds us, look up, set our hearts and our minds on things above, so you might live out Christ, which lives in you. So this is where Paul gets practical. What does Christ in us lived out looks like? So I want to have a look now at verse 12 of chapter 3, because this is where he gets really practical. What does Christ in us, as we look to him, as we set our hearts and our minds on him, what does that look like lived out? Verse 12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together." So at the start of that verse, Paul begins by saying, "You are God's chosen people." He begins by saying, again, this is who you are. Remember, this is your identity. Since you've been raised with Christ, you are a child of God. You are dearly loved. He reminds us of that. And I love how Paul encourages the Colossians here and reminds them, this is your identity. You're God's chosen people. And because we are God's children, he knows what's best for our lives. He knows that these are the virtues that he wants us to reflect. We are his children. Put on these virtues. Clothe yourselves in these things, because this is where we'll be alive. This is where the true life is. So Paul goes on and he gives this imagery of clothing ourselves. And this got me thinking. I was thinking about this. Why does Paul use this particular language in this verse? Why did he say clothe yourselves in these things rather than just show compassion or show kindness or show gentleness? He doesn't use that word. He says clothe yourselves in these things. So that got me thinking about certain clothes that we wear and how often it's the clothes that we wear that define us, that say something about us. I'm looking at a bunch of people right now wearing bright red shirts. It's saying something. The clothes that we wear says something about us. It reflects something of our identity. And it got me thinking of some special cases where maybe for certain events we wear certain clothes. And a few things come to mind. The first I think about is whenever you go to a sporting match. Whenever you go to a sporting match, you want to put on the jersey, you want to put on the beanie or the scarf because you want to identify with your team. So it got me thinking when Luke and I, we went to London a number of years ago and we got to go to an Arsenal game. I love Arsenal. I might be the only one here in the room. Josh is looking at me with daggers. He's like, Liverpool. But yeah, so here's a picture of us. And we are clothed. We had to go buy a beanie. We're in London. It was freezing cold, but there was no way I was not going to go to an Arsenal game for the Premier League and not put on the beanie. I had to buy the beanie. Luke reluctantly wore the beanie just for this photo. But we put it on. We put on that which represented the team. We wanted people to know that this was the team that we were a part of and supporting. Another time I can remember that we and maybe you have it yourself as well, have worn special clothes that says something, is if you've ever been to a graduation. And the next photo is of me when I graduated with my education degree. And you wear the gown, you put on that silly hat. I never knew which way the thing had to fall, you know, the little dangly thing. There was a certain way. I probably got it wrong. But, you know, any other time, when you wear this, people think you're really silly. It's a silly kind of an outfit, really. But when you're graduating, it makes sense. Everyone else is doing it. We know that you've gone through, you know, 4 or 5 years of hard work. It says something about your achievement. And when you wear that clothing, you're celebrating. Yes, these are years of hard work, and it says something about us. The last thing I could think about when we wear special clothes is on a wedding day. And here's Luke and I on our wedding day. And when you have your wedding day, you put on a white gown, you dress up, and it says something of your marriage, that you're going to spend your lives together. And it says something. We know when we come to a wedding, the clothes that we wear are saying something about us. So because what we clothe ourselves in demonstrates of something of who we are, our identity, I think this is why Paul says, instead of just show compassion, he says, clothe yourself. Clothe yourself in these things. Let others see you wear compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Let others see that. Put it on. Wear it. So I thought, what better way is than we have to put on these virtues? So I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some volunteers to come and put on, clothe ourselves in these things and stand up on the stage with me. Can I have some volunteers? Don't all jump at once. I know you really want to do this. I'm going to need your help. Thank you, Luke. I can always rely on my husband. So jump on. Let's clothe ourselves. Let's wear these virtues. Thanks, guys. We can see as we are wearing these things, there's an action, isn't there? We're having to put these virtues on. There's an action involved. So, thanks, guys. So I want us to have a look at these virtues in front of us. Maybe take a moment. Maybe think about, do I put these things on? Maybe what do I need to take off to put and allow these things to come a part of me? But when I look at these virtues, as I look at you guys putting these on, wearing them, clothing yourselves in them, I think we get a picture of Jesus. Because Paul says to us, clothe yourselves in these virtues, because as we do that, as we clothe ourselves in these things, we start to look more and more like Jesus. We start to live like Jesus. And this is why Paul says, God has made you alive in Christ, because as we look to Jesus, as we set our hearts and our minds on him, as we look above, he starts to transform us so we can live out these things. And that's why he said, I've made you alive. Live like this. Clothe yourselves in these things. That's where true life is. But Colossians 3 says, though, before we can put these things on, we need to take off the old self. We need to take off the old clothes. We need to take off the rage, the lust, the anger. We need to take those things off so that we can put these things on. I think we often can be quick to, maybe we take those things off and we want to put these things back on, but we're quick to maybe leave those old clothes in the cupboard, and sometimes we can tend to go back and put them back on. We're quick to put the sin back on in our lives instead of clothing ourselves in these things. Paul encourages us, put off the old self. Set your hearts and minds on things above, not on the earthly things, but put on the new self every day, asking Jesus, who lives in you, who is your helper, who is working in you, even if it sometimes feels like the change is slow, every day, take off the old self and put on the new. And it's not always easy. I think we know that. I think as we sit here, we know maybe the things that we need to put off, that we need to take off. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. We're going to put back on those things that we know we shouldn't. But Colossians 3 says, our new self is being renewed. It's being renewed in the knowledge of the image of our Creator. It's happening. God's transforming us. We're being renewed. It's a journey, but our desire should always be to be more like Jesus, to wear these things and take off our sin. Verse 14 says, above all these virtues, put on love. which binds them all together. So if you guys could turn around. Did it work? I spent hours painting with Anna's help, but I think we can get the picture. Paul tells us love is imprinted across all these virtues. Love is what binds them all together. The manifestation of love is these qualities. You cannot show compassion without love. You cannot show gentleness without love. And I think these qualities and what Paul is saying, he reminds me of the words in Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kindness. It isn't proud. It's humble. It's not self-seeking. It's compassionate. Love isn't easily angered, but gentle. Love is what binds all these things together. Because love never fails. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. You can keep wearing them. Paul tells us to clothe ourselves with these things. There's an action there, isn't there? We need to put off just as we need to put on. Jesus is going to do the one. He's going to be the one changing us. He's going to help us be more compassionate when in ourselves we're selfish. He prompts us to people that we need to encourage and be kind to. He's going to help us be gentle when it's perhaps easier to be angry. That's the power of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Paul tells us to forgive one another. When someone wrongs us, often we don't want to forgive. We feel they don't deserve our forgiveness. But Paul says, put on humility, forgive each other, because Jesus has forgiven us. And when I think about how much Jesus has forgiven me, it reminds me how much I need to forgive others. I have a favorite verse in the Bible. And it's John 15, verse 5. It's Jesus speaking to his disciples at the Passover before he goes to the cross. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, Christ in you, you will bear much fruit, compassion, gentleness, patience, kindness. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I love these words of Jesus because it reminds me that Christ lives in me. It reminds me to keep looking at Jesus, keep my heart and my mind fixed on things above. It reminds me to keep looking at Jesus, spend time with Jesus, remain in him, abide in him, because then he will transform you. He will bear the good fruit in him, in you, and the fruit that you bear will look like those things. It also reminds me of who I am. I'm a branch. I'm connected to the vine. I'm a child of God, God's chosen people. I'm in God's family. Recently, I had a very talented friend of mine paint a picture for me to put in my house, which is based on this verse. And I have a picture on the screen for you to have a look at. We've put this artwork in a very special place in our house, which for me is right above my piano. For me, it's a special place of worship in my house where I play and I sing, sometimes very passionately, to either the love or not love of my neighbours. But for me, this artwork reminds me of that verse in the Bible to remain in Jesus every day. Remaining in Jesus, setting my heart and my mind on things above, spending time with him, abiding with him, that who lives in you, Jesus, the hope of glory. And the hope of Jesus is this, that you can be forgiven of your sins, reconciled to God and made alive because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And because he rose again, you can put on the new self, a new identity. Jesus wants to live in you. And as you put your faith in him, as you continually put off the old ways of the old self and put on the new self, you will live in a way you were always created to live, showing compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. So you are reflecting more of the image of God that you were always created to be. So as I finish, we're going to lead into communion. And what a better time to reflect on the death and resurrection of Jesus, who went to the cross so that we can put off the old self and put on the new. But as you take your communion today, I would like to do this together. Because the next part of Colossians 3 that I don't have time today to look at, the next part says, and again, read it in your own time, says it looks really at now, as a body, what should we do as a body? What does that look like? What should we be doing? And Colossians says, and I think Tyler read it to begin with, let the message of Christ dwell amongst you richly as you teach and admonish each other with wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs through the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So I want to do that together. I would like us to turn to some small groups with each other. And before we take communion, I want us to maybe have a conversation with your group. And I want us to maybe think about this question. How do we set our hearts and our minds on things above where Christ is? In your small groups, have a conversation about this. Let the message of Christ dwell amongst you. Maybe you just want to encourage each other in your group about something within Colossians 3 that's really stood out to you. But let us as a body, let the message of Christ move amongst us. And once we've done that, share communion together. I'm going to have the band come up and they will lead us, but I will lead us in a prayer to bring us back together before we sing.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were encouraged by the message and would like to hear more sermons like this, make sure you hit subscribe. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. To experience other messages, videos, and live services, head to aranahills.church and navigate to the Resources tab. Thanks for listening.